Hey there, welcome to Lie Number 58. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today's lie is, it's my job to call people out with special guest, Lisa Whittle. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. First of all, let me just tell you a little bit about Lisa Whittle. Her love runs so deep to see people pursue Jesus for life. I mean, she has a book called Jesus Over Everything. She wants people to grow deep roots of faith and really just walk strong in the midst of a world that so often seems to have gone crazy. Now, Lisa is the award-winning author of 7 books, yes, 7, and a new Bible study, which also includes her latest release, Jesus Over Everything. She is a sought-out Bible teacher for her wit and bold and bottom-line approach. And I can firsthand say that I've experienced this. I have listened to her twice now from the Narrow Stage, the She Works His Way conference that I go to every single year. Last year in 2020, it was with her and her husband. They did it together and it was just so powerful. But she is just a woman full of wisdom. And today's topic is none like I've ever talked about on the show before. We talk about cancel culture. We talk about how to post on social media and not fall into social media bullying. We talk about how to desire Jesus over being popular. And what does popular online mean? And what is the cost of wanting to be popular? We also talk about, you know, the lie that often comes for Lisa. And so you want to stay through the whole episode to just hear her heart. We all have flaws. We are all human and we all mess up. But this podcast really shares wisdom on how to show up in today's world on social media and to point people to Jesus while loving them well. Lisa, I am so blessed that you're here to share the topic that I have for us today. We're going to be kind of diving into this idea, well, a little bit of cancel culture, what it looks like, what it means, but also this kind of cyberbullying. You created a beautiful post about how us as believers of really just mean comments in the thread and how they trickle down between our eyebrows, between, you know, the clothes that we wear. And, you know, I met you 2 years ago at the first, well, not the first Narrow, but well, what was it? We saw each other in 2020 and 2019. So 2019 was the first year. So Lisa, I'm excited. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm so glad to be here. It's fun.
Now I want to start kind of with a fun question in a sense that you have been building this house, right? It's been a labor of love. And I think that God uses those moments when we're not in quote unquote business and ministry to teach us things. So how has building this house, picking out your swatches, designing your she shed, been able to teach you things about business and ministry?
Well, gracious, that's a great question. We're remodeling. We actually gutted a house. So in some ways we had planned to build from scratch, and this is kind of a pivot from that dream. I think in some ways I've never built a house from the, you know, ground up. So I don't know what that is like, but what I do know is this remodeling process has been interesting. It's been definitely a picture of, in some ways, my own life. And it's also taught me a lot about learning what is really important to me, learning about the things that I actually care about. I already knew that I loved to make things look great, but not pay a lot for them. I think that's probably not super spiritual. I think it's more like just practical business stuff, right? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's sort of, there is a perfectionistic tone that it's reminded me, that is a powerful thing to let go of, because there is no perfect way to remodel a house. Like something always goes wrong. There's, you know, things that look beautiful, even on the surface. Beneath that, there's probably a hole somewhere in the floor. You know, it's that kind of thing. So there's lots of lessons in the whole process. And it's been a huge lesson in waiting, which I'm not great at. So
patience.
Yeah, learn lots of things. Yeah.
No, that's good. I love that, because I think so many times we look just to the business world to teach us lessons, or ministry. I say business, ministry. You do a lot of ministry, but you help business owners. And I think that it goes hand in hand sometimes how many lessons we can learn just by our everyday life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good. Now slowly going to parachute into the topic kind of for today about social media, what it's become, maybe what it used to be. And I think for many of us, we're kind of afraid almost to show up because we're afraid to get it wrong. How do you think social media really has been impacting our message and getting it out there because we're afraid to get it wrong?
Yeah, that's a big one too. I think it affects it a lot. I think it has paralyzed a lot of us in the sense of, fear. Fear is prevalent in so many ways, you know, right? We're afraid of COVID. We're afraid of, and for good reason, clearly, we're afraid of a lot of things. I think we're afraid of people's responses and what people think and all of those things in a huge way, to the point where it's paralyzing. And I think that's the thing about fear, is oftentimes it starts out for one reason and it ends up in a fear loop. I've seen this in a lot of folks going through something like COVID, and we all have a variety of feelings about that. So I'm not here to talk about how we should or shouldn't feel. The point is, with that or social media or whatever it is that we fear, we often start out, and it may even be we start out with a realistic fear or a very good reason to have a fear, but then it turns into something that kind of overtakes us. And so when we get to that point, then we do nothing. And, you know, that's Satan's hope, especially with something like social media, that we will then begin to be silenced, that we will begin to second guess everything, that we will begin to be so consumed with what other people think that we will not preach the gospel. I mean, that's the great hope of him in that way. And so, you know, one of the things that's interesting that the Lord did with me is back in, it was really back in about 2013, I really didn't want to even do social media when it was just starting. It wasn't even what it is now. I've never liked opening up my life that much. I'm actually a very private person. And so, the Lord really had to deal with me about certain things in the industry with writing and all of the things that come with it. And one of the things he helped me die to is my need to want to be popular. And I'm so glad that he did that work in me 8 years ago, because listen, I'm a normal person. So obviously sometimes I still would love to have acceptance. I would still love to get nice DMs versus ones that were critical, but it just doesn't matter that much to me anymore. And I think that's really important for anybody who is going to post anything on social media, for anybody that's going to preach anything, anybody that's going to do anything, literally anything in this day and time. You have to wrestle that question down, and you have to wrestle that issue down, or you're not going to want to do anything, because culture is not going to change. You're going to continue to have this feeling of pressure. You're going to continue to get criticism, and there will be fear. So it's going to come down to what's my goal? What is my motive? And what am I convinced of? And the death to needing to be accepted by everyone.
Mm. That's so good. I think you hit it on the head about the need to be popular, because when and are afraid to get it wrong, we're afraid to be unliked. Then we think that correlates to being unloved and uncared for, whatever, through this social media space. And I think that most of us has this internal of what if I post this to, you know, this topic, then all these unfollowers go, oh, I should hold back my message because they unfollowed. And I love that you're saying we need to die to this idea of being popular to make sure we do serve the one who gives us the message. Now, can you share with us just practical questions, maybe before posting, that we can ask ourselves? And I think that you actually go through this kind of yourself, don't you, with some practical, do I need to post this now? Maybe this is a post I'm never going to post that could right. maybe encourage some people.
Yeah, I've definitely, goodness, on my own social media, I've done some sort of like take your own inventory type of thing. So you can even go back through my own feed and look at some of those things. Because I'm always aware that this is a great need. So I'm trying to sort of help in any way I can to make it easier on us, because I want us out there speaking truth and being the light. We need that. I think some questions would be, is this a reaction or is this a tried and true response that I have prayed over and that has been on my heart for a while? I know for me that generally anytime I feel sort of like compelled quickly to say something, it's something that I need to sit on for at least a couple of hours. There have been a few exceptions where I felt compelled and I knew it was Holy Spirit compelled, because it was a message that the Lord had been telling me for a while. And that's even when I had a quick response online, I knew that it was something that it was already something He was teaching me. So I think that's super important. I think also it's one of those things where you have to weigh, and this is to me important, that you're already walking with the Holy Spirit or else you might not be able to discern this. Something you need to ask yourself is this about me, or is this about a cause that will point people to Jesus and truth? Because more and more it is about us, and it is about what we want to get across, what we think, what we feel. That's sometimes hard to discern from what our conviction is, right, that the Lord has given us. That's why we have to continually be walking with the Holy Spirit, so we'll know. And there's a difference between a rant and, really a convicted response. I talk about that actually in my new book, which will come out in September. But, there are things that I think we know if we're walking with the Lord are not the right good thing to post. We just want to do it anyway.
Mm. Yeah, I think about the question to ask ourselves, does this glorify God or does it glorify me? And that goes along with a lot of what you're saying. And I think this also can go into this whole idea of social media bullying into, you need to be posting about this. And, the critics that come of, why aren't you posting about this and the new topic and the new trend? Can you speak a little bit of wisdom into the idea that we feel this desire to speak not our truth, but our beliefs about every single topic? And we've been seeing this kind of happen of, maybe private messages, or even people I know that they get these messages of, well, you should be speaking about this because you hold this position. And I think there's maybe a fine line of whether people are feeling, well, maybe I should be posting about every single topic, or maybe I shouldn't. And where does the line get drawn, so to speak?
Yeah. I'll say a couple of things on this. I think, first of all, anytime that you are pressured by someone else to post, it is not the right type of thing. I think that if you are doing anything in any regard, but social media certainly applies, because of the strong arming of someone else, you're going to go wrong at some point. So that's just a really good way to get into trouble. And I really don't recommend it. So the better choice is to be, what do I feel convicted about by God to post? That way there's no confusion. Mm-hmm. Because there's always going to be somebody that thinks you are doing something, because everybody's opinion is very different. Everybody comes into everything with their own lens, the way they would handle something. And you're not going to do it in the way that everybody else would do it. That's why we all decorate our house differently. That's why we all, have different ways we cook and different ways we parent children and all of these things. It's no different with social media. It's exactly the same. Some people feel compelled to speak on this and this and that. Now, Having said that, I would like to say that I believe that if you are in leadership and there are issues related to the gospel, if you are a Bible teacher, if you are someone that is in authority and you are in a place where you are typically speaking out on things or certainly putting yourself in a position where you are teaching folks, then you ought to be doing that across the board. And you ought to be talking about gospel issues across the board. So it's very obvious if you are typically talking about gospel issues and then all of a sudden you go radio silent on one of them. That's where there's some problems, I think, where people are like, hey, you know, you normally talk about this and now we're not hearing anything. So what's the deal? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a both and. And that's the way that I personally do my life. And what's real important here is the track record, because I think it's going to become increasingly important in the years to come. For me, anybody that now comes and says, hey, you know, you're not talking about politics, I'll say, okay, good. Check the track record. Mm-hmm. I've never talked about politics, nor will I, because it's my conviction that for me, and I believe this, and I'm entitled to my opinion, that when you begin to talk about one political party or the other, that you then lose people that the Lord might want you to influence simply because they can't get past who you might vote for. And I just have never felt like that was my call. And so it's not that I don't have convictions. It's that I believe that the Lord has called me to speak on gospel issues, and I'll continue to do that. So some people don't like that, and they feel like that's wimping out. I would just say that anybody that would say that probably hasn't read any of my books or know the way that I speak, and I don't have a problem speaking out. So it's a tough issue, but I think we have to continue to be who God created us to be. And that's why we have to die to needing to be popular.
Mm. I actually am so glad you wrote said track record. I actually wrote it on my notes because I know that you've talked about this. And I was like, don't forget to mention track record, because I know that that's important. And I actually love that, because it's almost like your proof, quote unquote, of, okay, you will go look at all the things that I've done, my books that I've wrote, the posts that I've, and you will see the consistency of my character, which I think is so important for us today, because we see, I feel like social media, I keep saying this, is turning us into two different people. Who we see online is not, and what they say is not what they're saying or acting in real life. And I think the more that somebody can see Lisa being consistent on social media of what she would talk about, and then seeing her in person, they're like, okay, I can trust her because she's consistent, right? It's why we can trust God. He's consistent.
Yeah, this is one of the things that the Lord showed me in 2017. Actually, it was earlier than that, because that's when the book came out, but it was about 2015. I felt like the Lord, and I know that he gave me a phrase that and really challenged me in my own life to what I wrote in Put Your Warrior Boots On, which is called the Ministry of Sameness, which is S-A-M-E-N-E-S-S, and challenged me and said, this is what I'm calling you to, is the ministry of sameness, because this is what's going to be really important in the years to come, is that there is, and it, I didn't call it the track record then, but that's what I'm calling it sort of now. I see it as, is not that you're not willing to change, but that people can go back and say, this is the person that has been preaching this same message for 10 years, because those are the kind of people, and I'm not saying I'm that person. That's the person that I want to be. That's the person that God, I believe, has called me to be. That's the person that I believe God has called all of us as believers to be, is steady and faithful, because those are the kind of believers that others are going to look to and respect. It will not be about a political affiliation. It will be about who has been a steady, consistent, faithful believer in Jesus Christ. That's who I'm going to listen to. And I'm convinced that that is who is going to still be in leadership in 5 years.
Mm. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I see that going, especially we think that the comments we post on social media, it's like they're not seen or read by God or anything. It's like, oh, well, nobody cares. Nobody's going to see this almost. And we forget how much of an impact it still has on our ministry or our business or getting jobs or getting on podcasts or speaking events. You know, you talk about that a lot in Called Creatives, of what you put out, people are going to go check and see. Now, what do you think like a root cause to this kind of all of a sudden, bullying or this needs to be posted and why aren't you doing this kind of happened? I feel like more than ever, probably in the last year, do you think it's lack of community or in person or relationships or what kind of sticks out to you the most when it comes to this root issue of almost this social media bullying more recently?
I think the other night it came to me, actually. I told someone this very thing. I believe that our misery is coming out in our fingertips. I firmly believe that is what it is. I believe that we are very, all of the things that you mentioned, I think we've been isolated. I think that we've been lonely. I think that we are feeling very desperate. I think we're afraid. I think that we have become extremely judgmental. I think that we are intolerant of each other. I think we don't offer grace. I think we don't know what love is. I think all of those things. And I think at the core, our misery is coming out in our fingertips.
That is so good. That's a good truth right there. I just want to also talk about the opposite side. So the ones that feel like they don't have to post about anything to maybe the ones that feel like it is our job as believers to post about everything, to call out every spiritual leader, to call out every leader in general. Can we speak a little bit about to that side? It's almost the opposite side of, you know, what we just talked about.
Yeah. I am not a fan of spiritual vigilantism. I think that it is widespread. At the same time, I have always been, I've always been very vocal about leaders needing to have integrity. I am a firm believer that you should be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So my personal call is to worry about myself, and I have a full-time job with that. I also believe that part of the solution for me is to offer something like Ministry Strong, because I don't want to be someone who is harping at leaders and yet not doing that without a place to offer us to be better. I just firmly believe in that. And so I will tell you this, I see a lot of this happening. And when I do, there is a place inside of me that is full of fear and trembling and says, be careful. Be real careful, because I've watched a leader fall far off a pedestal. And I will tell you that it is a very precarious place to sit in as the judgment police of leadership. I feel that every leader should be held to account and to held to a high account? Absolutely. If you know anything about me, you know that I have a strong belief and sense of justice. I am a person that without the Holy Spirit would almost curl into a fetal position over my anger and angst over things that are unjust, particularly with leaders in the church. But because of the Holy Spirit, I am filled with a sense of a real awareness of my own struggles. And so I come into it with a real desire to have leaders be pure and holy, but also a real understanding that leaders are very, very human. So I would just say, be very careful, be very careful, because we are not God. And I certainly don't want to sit in that seat.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes beautifully to what you had posted in this thread on Instagram. You know, you guys have to go see it and read it, but you sat on the post for, you said a while, and then somebody had mentioned it to you again. You're like, okay, I need to make this post. And kind of what you're saying almost remind me of this. I made sure to write it down. The standard of measure that we give, we should also be expected to hold that same measure. And I think that this goes along with the topic of cancel culture, right? Of I'm going to hate everybody that disagrees with me. I'm going to ruin their business. I'm going to try to take them down because they voted differently or they have this or do that. And can you speak to this idea of the standard of measure that we give will be also the standard measure that is given to us?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I wrote that part because I just wanted everybody to be real aware. I think sometimes we just get caught up in things and we need just a moment of clarity. We just need a moment of perspective here that as we are preaching things on social media, like love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. And as we in the same hour might then go and tear our neighbor apart in a comment because we didn't like what they posted or we didn't agree with it, that is very disingenuous. So what I'm saying to us is this: let's be real careful about how we are convinced that we are to hold leaders to account ourselves and understand that they are a human, we are a human, and in God's eyes, we are all in the same boat. So I just am very, very leery about playing that role. That does not mean in any way or negate in any way my belief or desire to have truth be known about leaders that aren't living right and aren't living well. Absolutely not. I mean, one of the things I talk about in my new book that's coming out in September is facing uncomfortable truth and hard conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to be doing that, but we need to be doing that at the same time that we don't sit as the judge of leaders and consider it our job to bring them all down. Because I believe that Satan wants that in order to take out all spiritual leadership in this country so that we listen to no one and we believe that all leaders have something to hide. Listen, every leader is flawed. Every leader has something that probably, if you knew about it, you wouldn't love it. That is all humanity. But that does not mean that that leader is not being used by God or cannot be used by God in your life. And I just think we don't want to get into that because I don't, not because we're in denial, but because it's not our job.
You have done such a beautiful job on social media with this. And I'm always like, wisdom, wisdom. Like this is, you speak to the situation without having to feel the need to address all their names. You know, you might speak to what it means to this biblically or what happened to this, but you're always pointing us back to the truth. And I am so grateful for your stance on that and how you do that so beautifully and articulately with, you know, the Holy Spirit and being an Enneagram 8 that I know that are very like, you know, let's do this, let's go, you know. And I am just so grateful for that. But as we kind of wrap up, I have two more questions. One, what would you encourage somebody in today's age with social media to just pursue it well? You know, how would you encourage them now if they're like, Lisa, okay, I felt the social media bullying. Okay, oh, I did. I've called leaders out before, you know, or I'm afraid to post because I want to be popular. Can you just speak some truth and life into that situation?
I would encourage anybody just to continue to remember what you're here for and what God has called you to. You know, if you begin to try to get into, you know, what is someone going to think? Am I going to get canceled? Is this going to offend someone? All of the things, you are going to wind up with a very complicated situation on your hands. And I call it too affected to be effective. And I truly believe that if we think about all of those things, if we give all of those things considerations, we're going to be so affected that we're never effective. And I firmly believe that that is a tool of the enemy. I think that he wants us to overthink everything. I think he wants us to overcomplicate everything. That is literally the reason I wrote Jesus Over Everything, is because it is a gauntlet laying down message. It's saying Jesus over everything. It does not mean Jesus covers for you. It doesn't mean that you are recused from things. It means that that is your basis. That is your covering. And at the end of the day, you bottom line everything to that. And so I'm not going to excuse anyone for bad behavior. And if you use Jesus over everything as an excuse, then woe to you is all I can say, because you'll stand before God, not me. But what I will tell you is that at the end of the day, if you're walking with the Lord, this is your covering. And you say, look, Jesus over everything, Jesus over my need to be popular, over my need to have everybody understand me. This is the way that I'm going to operate, and I'm going to have to trust that it's enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that always goes back to, do I want to glorify God, or do I want to glorify myself, or do I want to build God's kingdom, or do I want to build my own kingdom? So thank you for sharing that. And I have one last question that I like to ask guests, because this podcast is called What's the Truth? And we address a lot of lies here. And so what I like to ask guests is, what lie comes for you often that you have to speak a lot of truth to?
That's a great question. I think it would be the lie that I am not good. Mm-hmm. Which is, that might sound crazy to people, but I think I struggle with, you are not a good wife. You are not a good mom. You are not a good Christian. You are not a good friend. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you are not good, mm-hmm. is what I struggle with.
Now, isn't that weird? No, yeah. What I love about this question is that we often put people on a pedestal, and this whole conversation is like you saying, like, hey, we get it wrong. We still struggle. We still have all these things. And when another leader comes on here and just shares their struggle or this lie that they might not feel good, it kind of just, oh, like, yeah, you're human, right? We're always growing and maturing in the Lord. So what truth do you often find yourself, or scripture or phrase, that kind of knocks you out of that kind of that lie to combat it?
I think I would say it's not anything about me per se, which again might sound strange. It's not like I go to a psalm that says, you know, I've made you, you're beautiful. It's nothing like that. I think it would be a grounding scripture like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. I think it's me going back to a remembrance of the Father. It's me going back to, you know, the scripture in Hebrews where it talks about Jesus being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I think about who He is, then I remember that it really doesn't have anything to do with me. And I don't feel that shame and that guilt, because really what that whole lie is getting me to focus on me. And the only way that I talk about this in the book, I Want God, the only way that I have ever gotten better from a self-focus, from worry, from fear, from anything, is to pursue God harder. Yeah. Because when I pursue God, and this, I think this is true of anybody, I know it is, when we pursue Him, we don't carry guilt. We don't carry really thoughts about ourselves, because we are so consumed with who He is. And so for me, it's not like a combating scripture that says, oh no, you're beautiful. The way I made you is what I love all those scriptures. And for some people that's what they need. But for me, what I need is to remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I just need to remember who God is. And then I don't worry about Lisa.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, where can we all find you though? Like, where can we go get more of you? Where do you want them to go? Your podcast, your books, all the things.
They can go to lisawhittle.com. I think everything is there. I mean, podcast, you know, we have the Jesus Over Everything show, of course, but if you want to know about Ministry Strong, if you want to know about Call Creatives, if you want to know about the books, I mean, free resources are there. I can't possibly think of anything that's not at lisawhittle.com.
Perfect. I will make sure to have all that in the show notes below. So again, thank you so much, Lisa, for your time and your wisdom. And I'm just so grateful for your gifts. Thank you so much for listening to today's lie number 58. It's my job to call people out. I pray that this encouraged you and also empowered you, that you do not have to be popular to be profitable or to run a ministry or to do business or just to show up in life in general. Before you go, if today's episode just maybe you felt a little bit of conviction or it inspired you to show up as you are, would you be so kind to just take a moment to leave a rating and review? It helps people discover this podcast, What's the Truth, so that they can begin to stand on truth and not the lies of this world. Don't forget that you can head to the show notes, follow Lisa, go see and read all about her wisdom and her books. And don't forget, I also have my free 4-week Know Your Worth study that you can go through at any time that is free for you, that talks about restoring your faith and rebuilding the foundation of who you are. And remember, challenge the way you think and you will change the way you live.